Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist. I help men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. I'm author of the popular Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of my Healing Through Love seminars, Love, Touch, Heal Relationship System, and the 30-Day Love Challenge, which will be introduced at the Passion and Romance Webinar Summit coming up in mid-March 2015. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today I have a very special guest, fondly called America's Love Guru, when she appeared on The Bachelor's Prince Farming on February 2, 2015. Zipporah Kingsbury has spent decades training in all these methods. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, she's here. I'm just giving a little bio about you. Integrated bodywork, breathwork, shamanic practice, nutrition, yoga, shiatsu massage, craniosacral therapy, dance therapy, meditation, conscious communication, empathy development, neurolinguistics programming, NLP, psycho-spiritual counseling, life coaching, body science, exercise, and conscious sexuality. Using aspects of all of this training have allowed her to develop her unique methodology for mentoring individuals and couples so they can find and experience that wellspring of intimacy and love within themselves and with their partners. Based out of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and San Diego, California, Zipporah travels globally and teaches seminars, classes, and ceremonies bridging sensuality, sexuality, and spirituality. So I am so happy to finally have Zipporah Kingsbury on the phone because this morning we had a little glitch with the telephone calling in. So welcome, Zipporah.
Thank you so much, Erica. I'm happy it aligned for us to connect this morning.
It's funny, huh? And with all this technology, we have to be ready. I have never created a program instantly, but it's great that you were able to accommodate.
Yes, I'm happy it worked out.
Happy to speak to you. So let's just jump right in. Please tell us about your early experiences, your background, and all that wonderful training that led you to become known as America's Love Guru. But I have to admit, I'm a bit jealous because my life's work is also about love and relationship healing. Mm-hmm. So I thought I could call myself the East Coast Love Guru, but that's another thing. So please tell us.
I like it. Go with it. You know, first I'm going to
say, of these different body therapies and different methods also. So I'm excited to talk.
You know, first of all, you know, the name Love Guru, that's not a chosen name. And And it's funny because it's not a name that I would call myself, and it was given to me by The Bachelor, by the series. And you know, when I even break down the name, right, guru means teacher, and all of us are we're all teachers, and we all have the inner guru, the teacher inside of us, ourselves guiding us. And I'm going to say that inner teacher has been my most predominant teacher throughout my entire life. And the essence of my work, it is around bringing people, moving people through the disconnect and the superficiality and the overstimulation that happens in a world that makes relationships feel less than intimate, that makes relationships feel more of they lead by habit and they act disassociated with each other, and it brings them back into feeling more alive, more connected, more skilled to really create heart-centered, empowered, uplifting, interdependent relationships and take responsibility for that as well in their lives.
Wow. So tell us how you came to all this. What is your background? Where did it start?
You know, my life started when I was young, and I look back at my childhood, and when, you know, I remember I started my menstrual cycle at a very young age, and I tell the story because what a period in women's lives and young women's lives where the hormones are all over the board, and we have an array of emotions that are moving through our physical body and our experience, yet it's rare that the youth are given skills around interrelating, how to interrelate consciously, how to be best friends with their emotions, with their emotional body, how to develop a relationship with their sexuality. Who's taught that? And it's rare that it happens. And so I remember my younger years when I didn't have that information and I didn't know what to do with everything that I felt, and I was a very sensitive kid. And so I remember doing things to distance myself from feeling because I didn't know what to do with it. And how many children do that? It's so common. And then
not children. I mean, I'm seeing it with all these couples.
Yes. And I start with children because what happens is people don't grow up. You know, what happens is that those the way that we were conditioned, the way that we were brought up, not a good or bad thing, it's just unfortunately quite common, is we're not given those skills, we're not taught, we're not able to clear that emotional body. And then, yes, what happens is we go into these relationships and we continue to act in the same way as we did in our childhood, and we're scared of connecting, we're scared. So what happened is as I grew, right, as I got older, you know, I became very passionate about helping people because I felt there was another way. You know, I wanted people to learn this stuff before they actually maybe went some of the routes that I went in my younger years. And I got into health and wellness, and I owned a nutrition business. I helped people through dietary endocrinology, through learning about their physical bodies. However, there was still a part of me that there was still a part of my emotions that I wasn't 100% like in tune with it. And I was a competitive bodybuilder for 6 years, and I pushed my body really hard. And I didn't listen. Like, I wasn't listening because I got so caught up in pushing really hard because I still had this belief of what I thought what was perfect. And I pushed myself so hard that I woke up one day and I could barely walk. And
yeah,
that was an opportunity. That was that changing point. You asked how I got to where I am right now in my field. And that was
mm-hmm.
the starting point that, wow, I was forced to feel my feelings, my emotions, my physical pain in a way that I had never felt before. And then I had a choice of what I was going to do with that. And what I chose is I chose to learn from it.
Well, that is a common experience, that people don't pay attention to their body and the emotions are totally connected to the body. So eventually your body is going to give you a very strong message. You can't
Hopefully.
Get away with it. You just keep pushing.
Hopefully, yeah. And the key is when we get those messages are to listen, and so often people aren't even aware enough to even listen to. And so that began a whole different array of training, of course, and studying with various teachers, different philosophies, traveling around Europe for about 5 years, studying, again, in different traditions. But more importantly, it actually gave me an opportunity to instantly apply everything that I was studying and everything that I began teaching to my own life. And so that was the bigger teacher than opening up a book. Because if I couldn't feel it, if I couldn't embody it, how could I actually understand another person?
That is so key, that any teacher, it could be a teacher of anything, of tennis, of dance, or of relationships. If the person hasn't had these experiences, they don't understand what the other person's going through. I actually had that experience with gymnastics, where I was teaching gymnastics, and I would be annoyed if someone was not wanting to do something or they said they didn't feel right, until I had that experience in a class where I didn't feel well and the teacher didn't listen to me.
It's to understand another is a deep training in itself, and to actually apply to, like, my own life what I ask of other people is also very important. And so, you know, I continue to grow and find this enthusiasm for, wow, like, how can our emotions actually be our allies? How can, you know, deep introspection really change the way we intimately engage with someone else? And what it continues to come back to in my work is how deeply we can actually accept and love and understand every part of ourselves, whether we like the parts or not, but really understand them, because that allows us to have more capacity, more space, more presence, more mindfulness in order to be intimate with other people.
Well, we need so much more of what you're offering in this world, because the media and most people really want a quick fix. They don't want to do that work looking within themselves. I've found a lot of people want someone else to do it for them, give them an answer, give them a simple tool, and it's not so simple.
Yes, you know, it is. It's unfortunate in a world that people do want the quick fix. You know, it's been so embedded in us, and what happens, unfortunately, is we can feel good for an instant, and then the next day everything's just back to the way it was. And it's the same way as, like, going to a gym. You know, years ago when I was training in the gym, and when I would work with people, they would work with me for 3 months. And it was over that three-month period that they would train with me twice a week. And then two other days during that week, they would repeat everything that we did, right? So they were learning through their body experience how to reprogram old habits. And it's the same way working with the emotions, working with the skills around creating more intimacy, conscious sexuality. It takes changing old habits and building new skills, and that takes a certain amount of time and commitment.
And commitment and willingness to do the work even when it's uncomfortable, and it can be very uncomfortable emotionally.
It can be uncomfortable, and I always say, how wonderful is that? Because it's uncomfortable, yet if we go into it, practically speaking, we can be in the moment and be like, wow, okay, it feels uncomfortable, but wow, I'm safe, the world's not ending, everything's good. And then, wow, the immense amount of miracles and change that happens because we choose to go through the uncomfortability, and then the uncomfortability goes away. And it's no different than anything else if we're doing something for the very first time.
Wonderful explanation. So now I can't wait to hear about what your experience was like being on The Bachelor. What did you do, and how was that?
So, yes, I was on The Bachelor a few weeks ago, and I gave an awakening intimacy session to Chris and his date, Carly. And it was during that session that we actually met. I believe it was approximately a 90-minute session that I worked with them, where we went through different aspects of coaching, emotional process, talking about the fears and the uncomfortability, and taking them through certain couples couple yoga exercises, different breathwork exercises that change the emotional patterns, that also awaken different levels of intimacy, different levels of awareness inside their own body. And that was profoundly beneficial for me to witness, but also for them. It definitely brought them to what I say was an edge. Many people were uncomfortable, and it also allowed them to find their voice. And sometimes it's about finding what their values are with my clients, finding where their absolute no is. This is my limit, and learning to speak that and communicate that with each other. It's really huge in intimacy building.
That's so important, that no, and also feeling what they feel in their body. Because sometimes in a marriage, when people are together all the time, one partner just has sex because they feel they're supposed to. They can't avoid it too long, you know, and it but they're not going with what they really feel and not really expressing what they really feel. So it becomes very mechanical. So I'd like to ask you, why is it so difficult nowadays for people to have the kind of intimacy that could be wonderful?
You know, I believe it's a couple of things. I believe it's a chronic state that has been created through years. It's living in a world where, you know, we all have different conditionings and upbringing. We live in a world where working hard, we're taught to work very hard. We get caught up often in a very fast-paced, overstimulated world, stuck in traffic, loud music, idle conversations, so much talking, rushing from meeting to meeting. That, like you just said, we actually, it's not that we can't just express what we feel. People don't know what they feel, because they've been so disconnected and overstimulated. Any of us, like if we itch long enough on our body, that what we're feeling is going to get numb. And that's what the overstimulation is in the world. And so that's what I feel happens, whether it's due to being scared of intimacy, not being taught how to feel our feelings. It's easier to be busy than to feel. There's so many reasons, but it's become chronic. And so the first step is to, how can we slow down, feel, and shift those patterns and plant some new skills there so we can start acting differently, interacting differently. Because strangely enough, if we slow down and start becoming more present, more connected, we're more in tune with our values, we can, like you just said, we could say no, but not just no, we can actually explain why we're saying no versus blaming someone else or getting in an argument with someone. It empowers us to make a very clear choice and to be able to have a clear conversation about that, and it actually will uplift the relationships at hand rather than create more disconnect.
So how do you do this with couples? Like, one of the things I've discovered, there are some couples where maybe when they were dating, they had a lot of passion, but then as they get to know their partner better in their daily routines, they can be very disappointed in who this person is, how they behave, you know, what they do. They may have different values. So how do you work with individuals and couples, single or married?
Yeah, and I do. I work with both single people and couples. And one thing to always remember in any relationship, change is always constant. It's the only constant, and it's going to happen no matter how beautiful the relationship is. And just to stay on top of the game in that relationship, it means actually being present, doing the work in the relationship, really showing up in the relationship, wanting to get to know the changes that occur inside your partner. That's the beauty of being in a relationship. It's an evolution. It doesn't stay the same. And so do things that every day that we can wake up, we can look at our partner like it was the first time we met them, because we're going to change as well. So, again, the more that we can learn heart-centered, very empowering communication, really show up in a sense of curiosity, on wanting to get to know each other different every day, staying up on activities like scheduling date nights every week, stay creative, make the date nights alternate where one, you're in the lead, you're the one that's creating the date, the next week the other partner's creating the date. It, it's it takes a commitment, and it takes paying attention and presence.
And not everyone has that commitment. A lot of people look out at the media or at other people at work or wherever they meet other people, and someone else looks better because the other person seems to be more understanding or whatever, whatever their partner is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the one thing to remember, and this is just a fact, is when we're in relationship, it's very normal to have, because we're emotionally bonded, we develop an emotional bond with people, there's more happening there, right? There's going to be more emotions involved. There's going to be just more, not baggage, but more stuff happening there. So again, the more that we can show up and every day really be embodied and feel our feelings and our emotions, our needs, our desires, and we can actually communicate that with our partner, even the disappointments, even the non-agreements, from a very empowered, clear place, like, wow, this, I'm feeling disappointed. This is why. Can we talk about it and not blame the other person? And the more that you can take action to create the passion, to do things that are exciting, to get out of your comfort zone, being in a committed relationship, it's like every day we're showing up curious and we're doing the work to get out of our comfort zone, because that's when we get lazy.
Oh, boy, people love to stay in their comfort zone. So I have another question for you. Have you had to overcome any relationship struggles in your life? I certainly have, so I know.
Absolutely. You know, I actually look at relationship as the highest form of spiritual practice I could ever have. And so when I'm in a relationship, that relationship is my mirror. That relationship is showing me all my stuff, whether it be insecurity, whether that be feelings of jealousy, whether that be disappointment. And it's allowing me a playing ground to learn about myself, and that can be very uncomfortable. So, of course, I've had challenges. I've had my edges in relationships. I've learned to become extremely good communicator because of my relationships, and I'm in an extraordinary relationship now. And to show up with someone to be like, wow, I'm feeling sad today, and this is what's happening, has been a big lesson for me. And at times that's been uncomfortable, but now it's like, wow, I know that there's a safe place, but I can be radically honest about my feelings and that I'm responsible for my feelings too.
And that word radically honest, I like that. If you can be radically honest without being cruel or nasty or angry, just like clean, so that I think that makes it safe for the other person because they know that you're going to say what's true for you. So they don't have to feel insecure, does she really mean that or not? You'll say it. That's a wonderful way to be in a relationship.
Yeah, because imagine if what we actually all want is love, right? We all want more connection and we want love. And if we're in a situation, in a relationship, and we feel anger, right? We feel anger. And if we were to take the old way and blow up at our partner or point the finger and blame, now we want love, so remember that. But when we go like that, we're creating more war. Our partner puts up their guard. There's no more connection. There's less connection than there was because we needed to prove a point. But what if we step back and we're like, wow, okay, why am I angry? Well, it triggered this in me. You know, I felt I was less important because when you did this, I felt less important. It doesn't mean that the other person did that to make us feel less important. So now we can understand what we feel. And now, okay, so what was I needing? Well, I might have needed more reassurance of my relationship or the love that my partner has for me. I might have needed them to communicate what they did differently to me. So now we can go into this communication with our partner and be like, you know what? I felt really angry back there. And what I noticed is I felt a little bit unimportant to you. And if I was needing you to maybe communicate to me differently, if I say it like that, my partner now is listening. My partner's not scared. His guard didn't go up because I didn't point the finger that he did something wrong. And what that just created, it created more intimacy between us because now the two of us can have a heart-centered communication about it.
And as you were talking, I just felt, like I could take a breath. with that kind of communication.
Yeah, and you know, and it's getting us what we want. We want the love. We want the connection. We want the intimacy. And we're shifting the patterns where we were once taught that we have to fight for what we want. Well, I'm inviting
wow.
people to put the fight down and actually open their heart.
Oh, it sounds so wonderful. And just more people, if they would know the value of that. And I just have another question. Do you notice any big differences between men and women in the way they handle the struggles or the way they cope?
Yes, I'm not going to have to say man or woman, but, you know, we all have masculine and feminine traits inside of us. And for people who have more masculine traits inside of them, is their tendency is they tend to, when they process emotions or uncomfortability, or they go inward, right? They don't necessarily talk about it right away. They don't necessarily need to process outwardly right away. For people who have more of the feminine traits inside of them, we tend to kind of throw everything out first before it's even understood. We're external processors. We want to talk about it. We need to talk about it. And sometimes if we don't understand that about each other, it could get us into some edgy places.
That's for sure. So one more question about relationships. What do you think are the greatest barriers that stop people from really feeling good about themselves and then not feeling good about their partners and their life?
Yeah, the biggest thing is right, our buildup of emotions and the belief that we're not good enough, or the belief that we need to please somebody else, that it's our responsibility to please someone else. So I find that there's an overload of stories that we were taught, that we were told was the right way to live and have relationships, where people have not spent the time to truly understand and get to know themselves. And so that's a big barrier. So when people finally, you know what, they're like, okay, so what's true for me? You know, what is true for me? What does my body feel? What do I need? And then I can go into a relationship in that way. That's really going to be what creates really deep, intimate, connected relationships, sustainable relationships too, where they become interdependent rather than codependent.
Yeah, just explain what interdependent is.
Interdependent is a relationship where no one else is responsible for your emotions, right, or your actions, yet they're people that are committed to the growth and the evolution of the relationship. They uplift each other. They support each other in what they love to do as individuals. Right, and so and they realize that their emotions are their emotions, and they live from that place of heart-centered communication that I express. They don't blame, they don't point the finger. Whereas codependent is obviously where, you know, their partner is 100% responsible for everything they feel, and it's their partner's responsibility to make them feel good. And it gets a little bit chaotic in a relationship like that.
Well, Tsipora, it was wonderful speaking with you, and we're running out of time. So I would love you to just share with our listeners how they might get in touch with you, have any upcoming events scheduled.
Yeah, so the best way to find me would be through my website, and that's at ZipporaIntimacy.com. It's TZIPORAH. intimacy.com. And it's on my website that you'll find the different ways that my offerings, how to work with me through one-on-one mentorship. I offer 3 to 6 month trainings with people, as well as my upcoming 6-week seminar series into awakening a new, bolder, juicier you. I also have a free teleseminar on uncovering the myths to intimacy happening on March 4th. And for people who are interested in to host me and bring me to your hometown, that's also an option. You can look at all that information right on my website.
Thank you so much, Sephora, for adjusting with a little bit of technical difficulty and for sharing such important, valuable information with our listeners.
Thank you so much, Erica. I'm happy that it worked out. It was great to chat with you today.
Yes. So I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. Contact me at drericagoodstone.com for counseling, coaching, or upcoming courses. Hire me to speak at your next event. Check out my books at amazon.com and smashwords.com, and keep checking your emails for information about the upcoming Passion and Romance Webinar Summit and my 30-Day Love Challenge course.